Welcome to Get Over It, the Intuitive Transformation Podcast for Exceptional 21st Century Living. We have a wonderful show to start out our new year. We have Jamie Kat Palin with us, and her book is Parisian Charm School, Fritz Secrets for Cultivating Love, Joy, and That Certain Je Ne Sais Quoi. And Monique and Je Ne Sais Quoi is about all I can say in French, folks. So, you know, bear with me.
Well, I think you did very well, Monique.
Oh, yay! Thank you, because Monique is about it. But, you know, folks, this is a show, especially for the ladies today with the Me Too movement and Time's Up Now. It's time for women to claim their power. So this is going to be a very important show for women to listen to so that they can learn how not to give away their power, and then for men to listen to so that you can learn how to respect the ladies a little bit more. Now, the information shared on Get Over It uses intuitive and pragmatic insight to help you break through blocks and release energy that is no longer needed. Yes, we're going to help you release your BS that is holding you back, but you know, the always real question is, you know, are you really ready to? Do you really want to release that BS? And by the way, BS is belief system. Now, a bit about me for my new listeners, intuitive since birth. I'm a third-generation intuitive with over 3 decades of experience helping people break through the blocks along their path. I'm a strategist for personal and professional transformation, revealing information which enables you to become a master builder of your life. I spent 25 successful years in corporate America as an executive sales professional, and I'm the founder of Healing Visions Ministries and the Northern California Children's Education Network, a 501c3 nonprofit. I authored Getting Your M&Ms, the Men and Money book, and Masterful Choices, the Key to Easy, Effective Change. I provide consultations and healings regarding relationships, business, career, money, and love that heal the mind-body-spirit connection, allowing you to live your life to the fullest. Now, my clients tell me that I keep it real while providing them with accurate information to assist them along their journey as a spirit living a human existence. But they also say, if you really don't want to know, don't ask Monique. My background includes a doctorate in metaphysics, Reiki master teacher, ordained minister, and clinical hypnotherapist. So whether you are stressed, depressed, or possessed, I can help. To find out more about me and the services I offer, visit my website, MoniqueChapman.com. I invite you to like me on Facebook, follow me on Twitter and LinkedIn. You can also sign up for my opt-in newsletter, Intuitive Living, from my website. And again, that's MoniqueChapman.com. French charm has nothing to do with how much money you have or how pretty you are or how popular you are or how well-connected you are or even how many cute outfits you happen to own. It does have everything to do with making the most of what is given to you at birth and, even more important, what you do with life's challenges. My guest tonight, Jamie Kat Palin, is the author of the best-selling books French Women Don't Sleep Alone, Bonjour Happiness, and Ooh La La, French Women's Secrets to Feeling Beautiful Every Day. Her books have been published in 21 countries and has been featured in major magazines, including the New York Times, Vanity Fair, and Time. Jamie makes her home in New York's Hudson Valley at La Belle Farm, where she and her husband have created a little bit of France and grow lavender, sunflowers, and produce their own brand of French sparkling cider. You can check her out at her website, and that's jamiekatcallen.com. And let me spell that for you, JamieKatCallan, and of course, .com. Welcome, Jamie.
Thank you, Monique. It's so wonderful to be on your show.
Oh, I'm so excited to have you on. You know, I love the book. When I first looked at it, I'm like, oh, okay, well, this is going to be one of those books that, you know, teach you how to flirt and, you know, touch a man at a certain spot and bat your eyelashes. And it's the complete opposite. This is truly a book for women to take the information and empower themselves by discovering themselves. How did you come about to write this particular book?
Well, you know, my grandmother was my muse. My grandmother was French-Canadian, and so I grew up just watching her and how much power and popularity in a way she garnered just by being herself. She was very, very elegant. She always dressed really well. And she would, the other thing is she didn't have much money. My grandparents really came of age during the Depression, and they did not have much, but whatever they had, they made it really lovely. So if she had one dress, she would change the buttons on it and sew on her own buttons. I actually just received her button box, which
oh,
is
wow.
Phenomenal. I know, people used to save buttons. And also she could extend it in her wardrobe by changing her scarves. They ate deliciously. They had a garden and they grew their own vegetables. And there was just this sense of joie de vivre from really actually having very little. So I think it's not how much you have, but it's what you do with it.
That is so true, is what we do with it. Here in America, we're taught that we're supposed to have everything, collect the toys, okay, whether the toys are cars or men or women or whatever they are, and you're supposed to look a certain way. Everybody, wants to look like the size 2 12-year-old that's on the cover of, Name Your Magazine, right? And that
exactly.
is so... That is so not who we as a people are. How did Americans come to the point of being, sheep? Because we're following what someone else says is ideal, and that ideal is not even the truth.
You are so right, Monique. You're absolutely correct. And I think part of it is we live in a truly youth-oriented culture, and it's a little difficult because we don't have a real appreciation for the femme de certain âge, which is the older woman, and we do tend to want everyone to look sort of like a cookie cutter, exactly the same. And true beauty and true grace and elegance comes from knowing who you are and truly being yourself. And in fact, the French have an expression, jolie lade, which literally translates as pretty. Jolie is pretty and lade is not so pretty. So it's the complication of, say, there's one thing about a woman that's kind of quirky and maybe odd. Maybe it's like, oh, a ton of freckles or something like that. Mm-hmm. And in America, we might try to hide that and think, oh, that's a flaw. But the French, again, I think it's because they're an older, wiser culture, know that that very thing that we might want to change or hide is actually our signature. It's our gift. It's what makes us beautiful and different and really interesting. So it's about knowing yourself and also embracing your own individuality and making the most of what you were given at birth.
Mm-hmm. Well, here in America, we're taught, when we're little, especially little girls, to be quiet, don't say anything, don't speak up, and that you have to look a certain way. And then as you grow older, you go to kindergarten, you go through grade school, everybody's judging everyone based on how they look. Same thing in, high school and even college, you're being judged. So how do we get past that point of listening to what other people are telling us and embracing that specialness about us? I mean, my specialness, I got great eyes and, big lips, and I also got a big booty. And I always hated the big booty because I was always so skinny, and I, hated the big booty. But now I see big booties are in style, so I guess I'm stylish. But how do we,
yes,
as a whole, get to that point of really just say, okay, this is me?
Yes, I think that that's a great example. The very thing that you think is not so great is actually your signature, and it's what makes you sexy and wonderful. I think some of this comes from the support of your girlfriends or a special man in your life or even your mother. And particularly, I want to have a shout-out for grandmothers because I think oftentimes they can take their granddaughter by their hand and say, look, these are your special assets. This is what makes you particularly beautiful, and this is what you want to develop and embrace and celebrate. So if it is your big booty or your beautiful eyes or your luscious lips, then really, really appreciate what you have and make the most of it and make it your signature.
Mm-hmm.
But I agree with you that we live in this culture where it's, you know, the 12-year-old body is the ideal. And I think that by showing the world that there are many different ways to be beautiful and not to succumb to this, you know, fashion magazine ideal, but really don't give up and say, oh, I don't look like that girl on the cover of Vogue magazine, but rather be the version of your best self. You mm-hmm. show the world just by example that, wow, there are a lot of different ways to be beautiful. And then, you know, you might not know it, but you become an example, a model or a mentor to somebody else in your community, in your town.
Mm-hmm. Well, you say in your book that it's really important to be alive and present and vulnerable to the world around you. Now, the alive I get, because, I mean, if you're breathing, you might as well live, folks, okay? Be present, present time, present. Well, there's some people who are breathing that aren't living. They're just existing kind of air, but we don't want to do that, okay? We want to really just get out there and be ourselves. So be present, be in the now, in the present time. And then you say be vulnerable. What do you mean by being vulnerable?
Well, I think when we're not vulnerable, we're shielding ourselves and we're building up a kind of fortress, and we're not really in touch with our true nature. And also, you know, I think our vulnerabilities are telling us something about ourselves. So, you know, if we feel vulnerable, if we're getting, you know, a little bit of, say, a stomach ache about something, somebody says, oh, like, you have to come out and party tonight with us because everybody's doing it and you have to come with us and don't be a stick in the mud. And our vulnerability, the part of us that is a little bit sensitive, is telling us no. I think it's really, really important to listen to that, and that we, and I think we can learn from our vulnerabilities.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so don't be afraid to put yourself out there. But how do you get past the people who want to throw those negative darts right back at you? So how do you get past, you know, feeling not necessarily sorry for yourself, but having your vibration lowered by people's negative words that they throw at you?
I think, you know, this is such a great question, Monique, because it kind of relates to the idea of if you feel vulnerable, you have to pay attention to that, because the next step to that is where somebody throws a bad vibration at you and it actually hurts you or depletes you. So, and I talk about this in Parisian Charm School. I talk about the secret garden. This is a French term. And this secret garden, it's a concept. I mean, it could literally be a garden, but it could also be just spending the day in your bed and just, you know, reading in bed or taking a bubble bath or going for a walk. Or your secret garden could be this best friend that you can turn to and you know they will be supportive of you, that they understand you, and they are kind. So we all need, you know, the truth is in life there's going to be people who send out bad vibrations.
Mm-hmm.
But if we know what brings us solace, what makes us happy, what fills us up, what makes us feel safe and secure and creative and happy, then we have this place we know we can turn to. You know, for me, music is very important. Dance is very important. I can be very, you know, sad and discouraged, but then I take a dance class and it turns me around completely. And I'm not saying every woman out there in your audience should now sign up for a dance class, but for them it might be a class in painting.
Uh-huh.
It could, you know, really could be anything, but the key is to start to become self-aware and find out what really brings you joy.
Okay. Well, I've got a question for you. Currently here in America, you know, we're going through the Me Too movement and the Time's Up movement, Time's Up Now movement, which I thoroughly support, having had the negative side of that, you know, having experienced the negative side of that. In France, is the sexual perversion with, you know, talking to women, putting your hands on women, as overt as it is here in the States?
You know, it is not. And I think that some of this, I mean, there's sexual harassment wherever you go.
Uh-huh.
So I don't want anyone to think, oh, you know, there's never sexual harassment in France. There is. But I do think that this idea of being polite and careful and elegant, it sounds a little old-fashioned, but it also, in a way, serves as a protection. It puts men on notice that this is a woman to be reckoned with. She's not arriving in her, I don't know, sweats or something, but that she takes care of herself and she pays attention to who she is. So it puts them on notice that this is someone of a certain decorum. Uh-huh. The other thing is that French women don't date. You're not going to find them, you know, on that one-on-one date alone with a man. Rather, they go out in groups. They have dinner parties, and these are casual dinner parties, you know, maybe picnics, potlucks, but it's done in the context of friends and family. And I just always worry that if we go off with some man we don't know that well and we're, you know, alone, I mean, I think it shouldn't be, but I think sometimes it's a recipe for disaster. And I've thought so much about this whole issue with, what's going on with all of these men we're hearing about. And I do think that we are at a time where we need some rules of engagement.
Uh-huh.
And we need, let's be better behaved.
Yeah, but how do we get to that point? Because even, you know, based on what we just said, it might sound a little bit, and I know it's not, but it might sound a little bit, well, the woman's dressing a certain way, so therefore she's inviting it. And women don't. I mean, this is happening to little girls that are 5 and 6 years old.
I know.
And
it's so horrible.
So what can we do as women to put a stronger boundary, I guess, out there? Or maybe it's happening now with the whole movement that men are becoming aware that, nope, this is not appropriate. No, I cannot do this. Yes, there's a consequence for it. So maybe the goddess energy is just rising up and saying, okay, you know, we're taking control. And that's what your book is basically about, you know, being charming but taking control at the same time.
Yes, because charm is powerful. And I just loved what Oprah said at the Golden Globes, and the whole idea that, you know, time's up. And I think that there's been a very big change, and I think it's unfolding now. And I think in the next, you know, few years, we're going to have a different world. So, and, you know, it's interesting because I talk to men, too. I've had several radio interviews with men, and they're scared and worried because they don't want to be just tossed in with the whole basket of men who are badly behaved.
Uh-huh.
And but they worry about the future of romance. They worry about, well, how can they find a romantic moment? How can they court a woman that's their fear. It's not true. But they worry that they're going to be accused of sexual harassment, even if it's something that's very innocent. But they want romance. So I do think that the way to separate what is harassment and what is an assault from what is just a romantic moment is, one, this romantic moment needs to be in the context of a relationship where family and friends and community are involved, in a way so that there's witnesses to the developing friendship into a romance. And then And then ask yourself, is this civilized? Is this intelligent? Is it dignified? Is it charming? Because so many of these things we've heard about are certainly not charming or dignified. And I think if, so that's really for men who are worried. Uh-huh. I know you have probably more women listening than men, but I think that it's important to let them know that we will not tolerate sexual assault, but at the same time, we don't want to throw the baby out with the bathwater.
Exactly. You know, exactly. I had an instance where someone did something nice for me, and I thanked him. And he opened his arms, and he said, "May I hug you?" And I said, "Of course," because he asked. Okay. Now, if he
yes.
had come, you know, running forward with his arms open and grabbed me, it may or may not have been, you know, appropriate as far as I was concerned. But he asked. So I was like, yes. You know, it gave my permission, and that's what it was, a wonderful, you know, warm hug, and that was the end of that. So there is hope, but I think there's a process that we're going to grow through as a world so that we can get to the point where men and women are equal and women are not being abused. Because even in some African countries, you know, they're still hurting women in a horrible way and treating them very disrespectfully. So hopefully the energy will rise up and everything will be okay. Well, folks, we're speaking with Jamie Catcallan. Her book is Parisian Charm School, French Secrets for Cultivating Love, Joy, and That Certain Je Ne Sais Quoi. It's available everywhere. It was just released on January 2nd. And you can check her out at her website, and that's jamiecatcallan.com. That's JamieCatCallan.com. Now, Jamie, in your book, you talk about confident women, and you talk about reading and that how reading will feed a woman's spirit, how dancing will feed a woman's soul. Talk to us a little bit more about that so that we can become more confident as we navigate our life these days.
Yes, I think reading is really, really important because it's about educating oneself. And also, when you read, and it doesn't necessarily have to be Dostoevsky, it can be just something that interests you. You become a more interesting person, and you're more confident. You have something to talk about. And I also actually recommend reading real paper books made of paper and cardboard, and carrying them around with you. The other day, my friend Jessica Lee, she and I talk about her in the book. She's the gal who went to France with me for my first book, French Women Don't Sleep Alone, and we did all these interviews together. But uh-huh. she read Parisian Charm School in manuscript form, and she read about how I said, you should go out and bring your book out into the world, like get a really interesting, maybe even a coffee table style book and bring it to a cafe or coffee shop with you. Anyway, she brought her book to her yoga class, uh-huh. and three men asked her, what are you reading? What is that?
Wow.
So I think it just sort of, it's a simple, easy way to show that you're an interesting person.
Because I can't tell that if you got a Kindle or any other type of tablet that you're utilizing because it's well hidden. You know, you said in your book, and this is coming back to the dance thing a little bit, you said that Zumba saved your life. How?
Well, back in 2010, when I was researching the second book, Bonjour Happiness, I was okay. in Toulouse, which is a little city in the south of France. And, you know, I was not very well balanced, and I was not really taking good care of myself. I was not taking my own advice, and I was rushing around. It was my last day in France, and I wanted to buy souvenirs for everyone. And I came back to my friend's house, and, you know, I was a little late, and we were all going out to dinner, so I grabbed my pocketbook, and I jumped out the door, and I tripped on a cobblestone. Uh-huh. My foot got caught in it. My ankle turned to the right,
Ooh.
To the left, Right. And I fell. I was in such pain because I broke my fibia and my tibia.
Oh, my
I
goodness.
fell. Yeah, I hit my head on a brick wall and went down. And the next thing you know, I was in the ambulance. And so I was in the hospital. I had to have surgery. They put a plate in and six pins. And I was 9 days in this hospital, which
Wow.
was a really, really transformative experience. My husband was in Australia. I had no cell phone, or I couldn't call on my cell phone. No electronics. I had a little journal. I looked out at clouds. I mean, it was really like, I know this is going to sound crazy, but it was one of the most wonderful experiences of my life, because I don't know, I feel like it really put me in touch with the true meaning of life, to be present, to appreciate little things. So I came back to America. It took 6 months of rehab. You know, I had to get better and rehab. And then the doctor said, well, you're probably always going to have a little limp. And I really thought, no, I'm not going to have a little limp. So I signed up for Zumba Gold, which is a class for older ladies, the femme de certain âge. And it's an easier class than the regular Zumba. And so I started really slowly, and I wasn't very good at the beginning, but I loved being with these women who, all of them had their own imperfections, their own history, injuries. There was a lady in that class who was 80-something, Betty, who I know, and she was there, though. I want to be like Betty when I'm 80. She was, she really had this great sense of energy and joy and appreciation. So, and I still do Zumba today in my little town in the Hudson Valley. I take three classes a week. And yes, it's exercise, but for me, it's also about the music. And it's about the other women who are so kind and so supportive. And I still take Zumba Gold, even though I also take the regular Zumba. But I love the principle of start where you are. So there I was, with a broken ankle that was healing. And I really couldn't do much, but it just changed my life.
You did what you could.
Exactly.
And just grew. Wow, that's an excellent story. Thank you for sharing that. Now, I know this is something that everybody wants to know, and it's about the French and flirting. How can we learn to flirt like the French and not be, one of those girls?
Right. I think that's such a good question. I'm so glad you're asking me about this. So, it's interesting because you're right. It's Americans think flirting, it's like you're going to be one of those girls. And for some reason, we associate flirting with teasing or with like a sexual come on. And that's not the actual origins of the word flirt. Flirt in French comes from the word conter de flore, which basically means to speak pretty or to speak like the flowers. And so it's about, lovely conversation and complimenting somebody. And you can flirt with another man, but you can flirt with children. You can flirt with the elderly. Girls can flirt with each other. It's about really being sweet. So, and the French see it as, if you have some pretty flowers in your home, that's a form of flirting. If you wear a scarf and, and it's something pretty, that's flirtatious. It's not about, hubba hubba, how you doing, baby? it's just not, that's not what flirting is. So it's really about the art of conversation, saying please and thank you, being nice, being interested in another person and being interested in the world.
Well, you know, in your book you talk about even wearing sunglasses or carrying a fan could be flirtatious. How?
Yes. So it's that idea of the slow reveal.
Uh-huh.
So a scarf is also a great example. So you're wearing a scarf, but when you take that scarf off, then there's something very, it's a little sexy, okay?
Uh-huh.
And the same
okay.
thing with sunglasses. Sunglasses, you know, you can see this with movie stars or musicians. The sunglasses make you more intrigued about, well, what are their eyes like? What? Let's see those big, bright blue or brown or green eyes. And the fan, you know, it's a shame we don't have more hand fans here. They're still very, very popular in France because they don't have as much air conditioning. So
okay.
in the summer, all the women have fans.
Uh-huh.
And, you know, fans, yes, they're a wonderful way to cool off, but also they're kind of a language in and of themselves. So there's something you can do with your fan. You know, you can flutter it, you can open it, you can close it, you can tap it. A fan is powerful. I hope fans come back into fashion here in America because I think they're really wonderful. But if you think about it, everything you do is a form of flirtation.
Uh-huh.
Everything you do. If you are aware of your posture, if you walk well, it's a form of language. I guess what I'm really trying to say about flirtation is that it's how you speak to the world, literally speaking, but also through body language.
Okay. And it's an art that can be developed and used very much to anyone's advantage in any circumstance that they're dealing with. Now, you know, I'm a graduate of high school in the early 70s at the tail end of here in America where you graduate high school, you're supposed to be engaged to be married. And if, God forbid, you went to college, you went there for an MRS degree, not necessarily for a degree that you could earn some money at. Why is it that the French aren't so concerned with this? And I think America now is not because I've got young adult children, and, you know, I watch their significant others, and it's not much of a concern. But, you know, it seems like marriage to an American woman, if you're not married by 28, you're flawed.
Yes, it's, you know, I just have to tell you, I graduated high school in 1971, so I think we're the same,
pretty much the same age.
Generation.
We're the same age.
So I completely relate to what you're saying.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that this idea that we need our MRS probably came from our parents' generation when there weren't as many opportunities for women, so they were worried about us, and they wanted us to have a husband because he probably could earn a living, and they probably thought we couldn't. But the whole world changed, as you know. By the time we got to the late 70s, the professional life was much more open for women. So that's changed a lot. That said, I do think that you're right. We, the French, aren't quite as concerned as getting the ring on the finger. And truthfully, that's because divorce is a little more difficult to get in France.
Uh-huh.
So they'll get married. They'll have a wedding. They'll commit to somebody, but they might not have that legally binding contract because it's not to their advantage, to the women's uh-huh. advantage.
Okay. Okay. In your book, you also talk about having a signature color, signature style. Why is that so important?
Well, again, it goes back to really appreciating who you are and loving yourself and exactly who you are right now. And to have, and color is so, so important to French women. And I think it should be important to all women. I think color is incredibly interesting and can really change your mood and really make a big, big difference in your life. So we talked earlier about the red lipstick, and you know, there's been times in my, I always wear red lipstick, and partly I wear it to honor my mother, who always wore red lipstick. You know, she came of age in the 1940s, and I think that color is important because it can put us in a certain frame of mind. It honors maybe the past, so maybe it's honoring one's mother or a friend who wore a certain color. I interviewed for Parisian Charm School, I interviewed this woman, Valerie, and she dresses all in orange. And she has a little shop, a gourmet shop on the left bank, and everything, like her branding, is all this bright orange, and her little bags are bright orange, and her packaging is bright orange, and she's dyed her hair a kind of reddish orange, and I know it sounds a little crazy, but it's adorable. It's adorable and really, really charming. And that's the whole idea of color and style, that she has found her favorite color. She said it makes her feel happy. It's a happy color. And you know, it really, really works. And also, it's a signature. So when you see her, she walks into the room, you could see her completely out of context. And it's like, oh, there's Valerie, because of this. She always wears something orange. And I feel that way about, I actually started, red was always my color, and I still love red, but I had a stylist work with me in Paris a few years ago, and she said, no, no, you must wear blue, blue. So I am known for my blue, and I have a blue beret that I bought in the south of France at a art museum where they talked about how the color blue was created in the Middle Ages. It's made from the woad plant. So, you know, a color is not just a color. A color has meaning and associations. And even if you're the only person to know that your favorite color, the one that you wear all the time, has all of this history, and for you, all of these wonderful associations, people might not know it, but they'll feel it. And because you know it.
And it seems like it just raises your vibration, so in your frequency, so people will notice you, but in a positive way. Even if some people might think it's a little quirky, they still think it's positive. Is that the way to follow that? Okay. Give me, well, one more thing around color in all of this. In your book, and this one kind of threw me a little bit, you talk about everybody loves a gal in uniform. Talk to us more about that, because I can't envision me in uniform. I mean, my own uniform of what I wear when I work and all of that, that's one thing. But when I read that, I was going like, okay, Navy, no. Marines, no.
Well, you know, it could even be, I think uniforms are just about the sexiest thing in the world. And it could be, it could be like a chef's uniform, any uniform where it's like, this is my profession, this is what I do. So it could be, I even find, you know, when you see the guys working, you know, in the, you know, like there's a, I don't know, water main break or something, the guys working for the Department of Public Works, and they're wearing these big overalls, and because it's cold out there, so they have to wear special clothing. I think that's really sort of charming and wonderful. But I have to say, here's why I wrote every everybody loves a gal in uniform. I was in Toulouse, and I went to a vintage clothing shop. Oh, and that's something actually I really want to mention.
Okay.
The French love consignment shops and vintage clothing, and I think that it's just really important to know about, because we often want more, and we want what's brand new, and we spend a lot of money, and then we don't necessarily wear those things.
Uh-huh.
So I just want a shout out for consignment shops, because you can find some amazing things, and in a certain way, it's definitely recycling. So I think it's a lovely thing to do. But anyway, so I was in this consignment shop in Toulouse, and I found a French naval officer uniform with the whole epaulettes and the brass buttons.
Oh, wow.
And I know, and it was so charming, and I loved it so much, and it fit me, which, you know, I'm only 5'2", so this must have been one small Navy officer. But it really, for me, you know, my dad was in the Navy during World War II, and then he was in the Navy Reserve, and I remember him going out every Monday night in full uniform, and he had a Navy officer jacket that was like this one.
Mm-hmm.
So for me, it was very meaningful, and I have to say, it was a man magnet. Like, everywhere I went, men were like, well, what ranking is that, lieutenant commander?
Oh, wow.
So
okay.
I know, you gals out there, you try this sometime. Mm-hmm. Wear some kind of a uniform and see if you don't get a lot of comments, nice comments, and interest in you. So that's part of the whole effect of the uniform. But the uniform can be something as simple as an apron. So my husband and I, we have this little farm, and we, during the summer, we have a little booth at the local farmer's market, and I always wear an apron, because I think, okay, I'm a shopkeeper now, so I'm wearing my little apron so I look official. I look like I have a little farm shop. And people love the apron, and it also makes me feel great, because there's something a little official about it. And I think that there's a power to this. Like, wherever you are, whatever you're doing, think about, what do your clothes communicate to the world?
Well, if I had to share what I had on now, nothing. But I totally get exactly what you mean, because when I'm out, if I do a show or something like that, you know, I'm dressed up as an African goddess and all of this, and people just flock to me, where, you know, the person sitting next to me is like, well, what's your secret? And it's like, you know, I don't know. I just got up and got dressed this morning because I was feeling, you know, I was feeling confident within my power for what I do. So I guess that's my uniform. But, you know, you said something interesting. You said, wear your uniform and people will show interest in you. And once someone, either male or female, shows interest, that opens the door for conversation. And what a wonderful way to get to know somebody and maybe meet a mate down the road. You never know.
Yes, and it reveals, you know, when you're dressed as your true African goddess, then anybody who talks to you already appreciates who you are. They already see you. And in a certain way, it's opening up the conversation. So it's a generous thing to do, to show who you are to the world. It's very generous. It's very kind. And it gives other people permission to be themselves.
Yes, it does. Well, you know, Callan, we're getting pretty near our time for the show, and I've really appreciated having you on. Folks, if you want to see her in her red scarf and that blue hat that she talked about, visit her website, NedjaJamieCatCallan.com, and she's right there on the first page, okay? You can't miss her. She's absolutely, positively stunning. Okay, and, you know, the book, Parisian Charm School, French Secrets for Cultivating Love, Joy, and That Certain Je Ne Sais Quoi, it's a quick read, it's an easy read, it's purse size, ladies, so you can put it in your purse, but, you know, read it and take little tidbits of it. You don't have to integrate everything at once, but take a little tidbit from it, because that will help you grow. And, you know, 2018 is all about growing, and it's all about, you know, people being present and owning their own, and this book is definitely going to help you do that. Okay, I think I might have lost Jamie. I'm not altogether sure. I am not hearing her, so why don't we do this? Why don't I just close out the show, and we will get back to that.
We are experiencing technical difficulties. Okay, you may not hear everyone on the call. You will be prompted when the conference is reconnected.
Okay, so I just got a message in my ear that we're experiencing technical difficulties, so let me close out the show. I want to thank Jamie Catcallan for being my guest tonight. She did a wonderful job. And folks, go get the book. Ladies, especially Parisian Charm School, Friend Secrets for Cultivating Love, Joy, and That Certain Je Ne Sais Quoi. And I thank you, the audience, for being with me as we collectively get over it as far as staying stagnant and getting to the present day and learn to flirt and have a good time. The divine in me honors the divine in you, and I am truly honored and appreciate your time and attention. And when you're ready to live a more balanced life, give me a call. Intuitive consultations, 30 minutes or longer, are offered at a 10% discount if you mention the podcast. Love yourself enough to make an investment in yourself and make that call. That number, 888-240-6057. And remember, the most important choice that you can make is what you choose to make important. Consider making the masterful choice of love. Abundant blessings, light, and love to all. Namaste.